Welcome to Marvel.
Yeah, welcome into the show, the first official show of the 2023 season. Cliff here, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Let's go. Not the first official episode. As you know, I dropped a teaser midsummer. Then I did a little story time with Mr. Fahrenheit a little bit later, talking about the league and the history of the league. But this is the first official show. We're talking draft grades. I'm picking who the playoff teams are, who's in, who's out. People might get mad at me, but this is literally just for fun, as you know. So please don't take offense if I pick your team is out. This is like, I could be completely wrong. However, last year I went 9-for-12 on my picks. I'll explain how my grading system works as far as the draft grades go, and then how it works as far as picking who's in, who's out. It's kind of complex, maybe more than it needs to be for an exercise like this, but I think it's fun. And I did in fact take a screenshot of ESPN's rankings preseason, actually yesterday, after our draft was inputted. And I intend to save those and compare mine to good old ESPN at the end of the year. So if I can beat ESPN's rankings, then I can do anything. So once again, thank you for everything. On Sunday, for a lot of you, that was your first taste of a live draft. My first taste was years ago. I got to stop using the word taste. But Greg and I play in our family keeper league. And it has a lot of the same roster construction and rules as this league here. So I like to think that league actually helped shape this Marvel League. And we do a live in-person draft every single year. And I definitely don't envy my uncle, who is the commissioner, has been doing this for 8 years. And it's hard to get, you know, 11, 12 people into a room, and we did it, folks. So I'm hoping you liked it so much we can, you know, try to get it done again next year. Again, as soon as Corrado left the league, Corrado's from New Hampshire, I knew we had a shot at this. Hopefully Alicia was okay with just chilling in her office at home and, you know, dedicating 3 hours to us, but the rest of us had a good time. Thank you for everyone for making sacrifices and such, and bringing all that awesome food. What a day, what a day, what a day. However, we're getting right down to it. Welcome, step into the arena of the Marvel Fantasy Football League. It's time for the draft grades. You know how this goes. We're gonna do two separate episodes just to space it out a bit. Six teams today, six teams tomorrow, picked at random. I do draft grades anywhere from F to A+. Spoiler alert, there's not an A+ or an F. That would be, those grades are reserved for, I'll give you a situation. An F grade is reserved for someone who picks just an insane, you know, a first round pick. Maybe they don't know what they're doing. And I'm talking about like someone taking like Mike Evans in the first round because they're a Bucks fan. Like something silly like that, where they could clearly get him four rounds later, but completely ruins his draft. Like, that's what an F is. An A+ would be quite the opposite. If there's a really good fantasy football drafter drafting with like 11 other clowns that are just maybe don't know the rules or taking people way ahead of ADP. So it's like there almost will never be an A+ or an F. So just to kind of give you the gist on how that works. We are all, you know, multi-year fantasy football managers. Like I said in the intros for each of you, you know, I said, you know, second year manager Joe Chick, I introduced him, but he's been playing since 2000. He's a longtime player, 2 years in our league, but he knows what he's doing. Do you see what I mean? So there's never going to be an F draft grade, an A plus draft grade. So, you know, we're going to be hitting all the grades in between, though, it looks like. And as far as picking the playoffs in or out, I do give myself a little bit of wiggle room here. So I did pick six teams to be in the playoffs, just straight up in. I have four teams out of the playoffs, and that leaves me with just a few other teams that I call bubble teams. Now, am I taking the easy way out by saying bubble teams and not making a definitive answer? Yes. But what I'm saying, if you're a bubble team, I'm saying you're either a first or second team in or a first and second team out, AKA it's going to go down to the wire. And I hit on a couple of those last year. I went back and listened to the first two episodes, the draft grade episodes, and I hit on those bubble teams last year. So I'm going to continue. And now I didn't want to use five or six bubble teams because that's really not going out on a limb on anybody. So like I said, I have a few bubble teams, but for the most part, I do have definitive answers on your teams, on who's making it in the playoffs and who's making it out. Quick news and notes, had a conversation. Most of you left, but there was definitely some stragglers. We were watching the wrestling pay-per-view, of course, right? And I know Maddie's new to the league, but he was talking about, you know, is there ever a chance that we go to a one division league? He wasn't a fan of when he joined the league, seeing the three divisions. And then I guess, you know, Joe Chick told him a situation that happened last year where Chick and Gage were tied at 6-8. I believe Joe Chick had more points in the end compared to Gage, but Gage gets in the playoffs because he won his division. So I have it set up, you know, kind of like an NFL schedule. You know, this is how it works in the NFL. If you win your division, you're automatically in. And then the other three spots for our playoffs are wild card. And it completely skips your record. It goes by points. And I want to reward points. Why? Because of my situation last year, I was third in points for the league, but I was only 7-7. So that's why, like, I deserved to be in the playoff. Like, you know, not, you know, tapping myself on the shoulder here. What's the phrase? Patting myself on the back, tapping myself on the shoulder. But I did deserve to be in. I had a really good team. It's just the wins and losses were fluky. And that's why those last three playoff spots are reserved for the good teams that just got unlucky with wins and losses. So I thought it worked out great. There was a conversation had with Chick and Maddie. Good conversation of their view on how it went. And maybe Chick felt like he should have been in the playoffs over Gage. And I made the comment, maybe neither one of you should have been in the playoffs at 6-8, but luckily one of you did make it. And I didn't feel like it was a, oh my God, you know, we need to change this. Chick did have the longest losing streak last year at 6. Now I give him super props for, he played his ass off the rest of the year and ended up, I believe, in like 9th place. And most of the beginning of the year, he was in the Build-A-Bear Bowl. I mean, he was worried about coming last place. So props to him for coming back. But did that deserve a playoff spot? I don't know. What we have to remember is it could go either way. So the more we keep tweaking and changing settings, the more it's not going to come back around in your favor. So if we don't change the setting this year and maybe Chick makes it because he wins his division, but doesn't have more points than someone with the same record, what goes around comes around. So the more we tweak settings, the more it's not going to balance itself. So what I want us as a league to do, and I am taking this serious. I told Maddie, like, hey, you know, no offense, you're a first year manager. I don't really want to make a lot of changes for someone that, but I do play in another league that is one division. And we don't get those rivalries anymore. There's no division winners. I do enjoy like playing Taylor, Alicia, and Elliot twice a year because they're in my division. Like those matchups mean a lot. I like that part. But what I want you guys to do this year is really focus on, do you like the three divisions or would you like to go to one division next year? You don't have to answer now, but take a look at the scenarios. I don't think anybody was snubbed last year or any of the years that we've been playing. We've been in three divisions now for at least 5 years. I hate two divisions. So this was like my way of having really good matchups and rivalries while also not snubbing anybody. So that's a long-winded way to say, take a look at this situation and maybe at the end of the year we'll vote on it and we'll see where we come out. But you know, I would consider it. I'm not like a dictator commissioner, but I do like how things are generally run the last 5-6 years. But if most of the league wants to switch to one division, we can definitely look into that. So anyway, that was the intro. And you know how this goes. Without any further ado, let's get to the 2023 draft grades and playoff predictions. Well, all right, let's get into it. Also, just keep a note on this is I know how most of you play fantasy football, aka how active you are. So a lot of my knowledge of your gameplay over the years will go into these draft grades. So remember that. Now, Maddie, I'm not super familiar on how good you are at fantasy or how active, but just through our talks, I believe you know what you're doing. And I am very well aware of Greg's preparation in fantasy football, second to none. So props to him for that. So, but like I said, I do take that into account with these draft grades and predictions. Our first player just happens to be the first player, first manager with the first pick. It's going to be Taylor Benoit, Ball Too Well, Taylor's version. So let's take a look at our team top to bottom. Just going to read off the starters. Quarterback Josh Allen, running back Christian McCaffrey, running back Alexander Mattison, wide receiver T. Higgins, wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, at tight end Evan Ingram, flex Drake London, flex Brandon Cooks, and first off the bench, Samaje Perine. Let's take a look at this build here. She took Christian McCaffrey first overall. I actually expected her to go safer with Justin Jefferson, but no shame in taking Christian McCaffrey. He's gotten her a title in the past, so why not try to replicate it here? She goes high-end quarterback with her next pick, Josh Allen. That's going to be an unstoppable force just in and of itself, those two guys. Her wide receivers are fine. T. Higgins, an older DeAndre Hopkins, but she comes back with Drake London in her flex, a young guy, so with some upside, then back to an older guy with Brandon Cook. So we'll see what he's got left in the tank. The one thing I have to say about this team is her running back depth is not great. Again, she has Perine on the bench and McKinnon and Roschon Johnson. But other than that, no starters. I like Perine. He doesn't have to be a starter, in my opinion, for her to have to use him. So if Madison were to go down, you know, she has Perine she can use. But as far as this build goes, does it scare me? It's very top-heavy. Allen, McCaffrey, Alexander Mattison, and T. Higgins. The rest of the roster does not scare me. I like Drake London, the player. But that situation is not great. One of the lower passer volume teams in the Atlanta Falcons. They still have the same head coach, and all they've done is move to Desmond Ridder, who's still somewhat of a mobile quarterback. Definitely not as much as Marcus Mariota, but just not super high on Drake London and Kyle Pitts. I love them as players if they're on a different team, but, you know, the Falcons. So I think his upside is limited. I'm going to give this draft a B. It's a very solid roster. She's going to be in it every single week.
And I think at the very end, as far as predictions go, I do have her as a bubble team. And again, maybe it's the easy way out, but I only have a few bubble teams and she's one of them. I believe she might sneak her way in as the fifth or sixth seed. Remember, six teams make the playoffs, or she'd be one of the first teams out. So overall, a nice draft from the number one spot, Taylor. All right, our next manager that we're covering is Chris Roach's team. He is the Zim Crusaders. Quarterback, Geno Smith. Running backs, Saquon Barkley, Najee Harris. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Keenan Allen. Tight end, Greg Dulcich. In the flex, Tyler Lockett, James Cook. And his bench is so deep, I'm not going to just read first name off the bench. I'll read two. Gabe Davis and Antonio Gibson as his second name off the bench. And his bench is so deep all the way down, I think he's got starters. Tank Bisbee is a good high upside guy. Van Jefferson, Zay Jones, very usable, and Daniel Jones. So as his backup quarterback, just in case Geno doesn't pan out. So I love this build. Spoiler alert, it's a PPR nightmare if we're going against Roach here. So Barkley and Harris, you know, we'll see what Harris does. I don't think he's going to get nearly the workload he's gotten in the past with the emergence of Jaylen Warren. A lot of talks about Jaylen Warren being the third down guy, but either way, the touchdown guy is still going to be Najee Harris. And talk about PPR studs here. Amon-Ra St. Brown and Keenan Allen. My goodness. Those guys don't even need to score touchdowns, which they usually don't. But if touchdowns finally go in Amon-Ra's favor, he's going to be a top five wide receiver. I mean, he just got unlucky last year. If you remember the Lions, Amon-Ra, a lot of these guys, DJ Chark, they were getting tackled at the 1 yard line, which every single time the touchdown went to Jamal Williams. So if these guys just dive in instead of getting tackled, I know you can't really count on that, but I think, some positive regression is coming St. Brown's way for sure. I didn't like the pick of Dulcich. However, I changed my tune on that. He got him so late. And with the injuries to Tim Patrick out for the season, and now Jerry Jeudy could be out, let's say 3 weeks. Why are they going to rush him back? Who else is there? It's going to be Sutton, Javonte Williams, and Greg Dulcich. I mean, he's going to get a ton of the work. Don't forget, KJ Hamler is also injured. So all of a sudden, I think Dulcich is going to be a really good pick here for Roach. Tyler Lockett is an amazing pick. He was probably on all our draft boards with James Cook in his second flex. A lot of people are drafting him as their RB2, and this is his RB3 and his fourth flex. So just a really solid team. I love Antonio Gibson coming off his bench with J.D. McKissic gone from Washington now. Who do you think is going to get those receptions now? He used to split the third down work with McKissic. Brian Robinson doesn't profile as much of a pass catcher. He'll probably be a little bit more involved, but dude, Gibson is going to be a monster. They're going to be trailing in games. And what if Howell's good? There could be some good touchdown opportunities for Gibson. I'm a big fan of Gibson, and Gabe Davis off your bench is a post type sleeper. I don't need to say much about him. Chris Roach, I'm giving you a B+, my friend. One of the top teams in the league. So I'm definitely saying playoffs for you. And I'm going to say that you're going to be a top three seed in those playoffs. Nice job. Our next team is going to be Jason's team, Yeter Skeeters. Quarterback, Joe Burrow. Running backs, Austin Ekeler and David Montgomery. Wide receivers, Jalen Waddle, DK Metcalf. Tight end, Pat Freiermuth. Flex, Devin Singletary. Flex, Tyler Boyd. And first off the bench is Alvin Kamara. So this is one of the more, I'd say rough drafts, pun intended. he's got some playmakers. Let's be honest. Joe Burrow's always going to keep him in games. Joe Chick had Joe Burrow last year, and was able to help him kind of recover his season. Austin Eckler is an absolute stud. You know, pushing 20 touchdowns the last two seasons. Can he do it for a third season in another contract year? We'll see. David Montgomery is a fine running back too. Jalen Waddle and DK Metcalf are fine wide receiver ones. The rest of the roster, very concerning. I shouldn't say it. Pat Freiermuth is fine as a tight end. But in your flex positions, you have Devin Singletary, who just joined Houston. It's projected that Damian Pierce is the three down back in front of him. So you have a non-starter running back in your flex position, probably going to get like Rex Burkhead type work from last year with the Texans, which was barely startable. I think Rex Burkhead, if you got lucky, maybe he provided you with one or two fantasy relevant games, but Damian Pierce is the guy on a very bad offense, and now you have his backup running back as your starter. Tyler Boyd is fine. I'd say if there was one handcuff wide receiver in the league, it would be Tyler Boyd. If anything happens to T. Higgins or Chase, you have yourself a very nice bona fide wide receiver too. However, when the Bengals offense is healthy, he is definitely third, if not fourth, on the pecking order. First off the bench, Alvin Kamara, which if you had a more stable starting roster, I don't mind stashing Kamara. But where you drafted him, I didn't like that price. It was too high for me. 3-game suspension. And now, you know, for what it's worth, he does have to compete a little bit with Jamal Williams, who they paid. They're going to use Jamal Williams. Don't forget, Taysom Hill is still there. So that touchdown upside is no longer there. He's not getting double-digit touchdowns, in my opinion, because at the goal line, and this goes a little bit, this is a small knock on Jamal Williams too. You're at the goal line. Why are you not putting Taysom Hill in, who, by the way, makes a lot of money? You put Taysom Hill in as the quarterback, which is a wildcat offense, and you get an extra blocker. And then it puts the defense in a position where Taysom Hill can throw the ball. So I'm putting Taysom Hill out there almost every time at the 1-yard line. He's proven to get in those situations. And oh, by the way, you could just completely fake out the defense and throw over the top if you're Taysom Hill. Jamal Williams is not doing that. And Kamara has really suffered in the touchdown department the last couple of years. I know he had like a 6-touchdown game two, 3 years ago, but I think those days are over. It's not the same offense. I still like Kamara, again, if you have a better build for your team, but I'm not digging the roster. The bench is almost useless, in my opinion. No offense, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You got Juju Smith-Schuster and Devontae Parker. Good luck picking the right one on the right week. We don't know how that Patriots offense is going to look. I think it'll be better. But again, when you have two players from the same team, you're not going to know who to start each week. And starting both of them would probably be a bad idea. So for Jason's team, I do have a C-. And unfortunately, I have Jason out of the playoffs. All right, our next manager is going to be Joe Chick, a.k.a. Sweet Chick Music. So he's got quarterback Patty Mahomes, running backs Travis Etienne, James Conner, wide receivers Jamar Chase, Calvin Ridley, like that. Tight end, George Kittle, two flexes are going to be running backs, Khalil Herbert and Brian Robinson Jr. First off the bench, Michael Thomas. Let's get into the build here. Super safe with the first two picks. Doesn't get any more safe than Jamar Chase and Patrick Mahomes. Those two guys are going to be your leading scorers most weeks. And again, safe because they are the offense, let's be honest. So you're always going to get attempts. You know, with Mahomes, he's never going to kill you, and he's always capable of having those monster you know, 28-point fantasy games, who can win you a week. And Ja'Marr Chase is just unbelievable. If he takes a step up in the reception department, my goodness, he'll be just as good as Justin Jefferson. That's where Jefferson gets him, is the number of receptions. Ja'Marr Chase last year was a deep ball threat, great amount of air yards, which is what you want in fantasy football. Touchdowns were there. What you want to see is for him to be pushing 100 balls, catching them. I think he was only at 70-something. No, he caught 87 passes last year. You want him to be pushing more like 100 and to really unlock his potential. But 9 touchdowns, there's actually some room to improve there too, which is scary. Talking about the rest of his team, so I love Ja'Marr Chase and Calvin Ridley as your two starters. However, it's concerning. You're really banking on Michael Thomas to be a thing and play 17 games. He's your third wide receiver, and after that, it gets even older with Odell Beckham Jr. Nico Collins is a fine sleeper. We'll see what he can do, but I never like drafting wide receivers with rookie quarterbacks, especially if those rookie quarterbacks are on the Texans. But we'll see. Maybe he'll be a surprise. I do project Nico Collins as the wide receiver one there. So you have a chance at a possible, you know, usable flex guy in Nico Collins. But I'm concerned with Michael Thomas and Beckham Jr. as your two other wide receivers compared to Chase and Ridley. And George Kittle, you got your guy. I know you're excited. That's your boy. Draft the players you like. You know, I took Garrett Wilson, so I'm no different. However, are we to believe that George Kittle is going to play a full season? He hasn't done it in a long time. He's so involved in blocking. He's so good as a well-rounded tight end that it's just almost not plausible at this point that he plays 17. Now, if he were to shock us and play 17 games, that would probably be a steal of the draft. It was kind of almost baked into his ADP that George Kittle's not playing the full year. I see you have Chigakonkwo as a backup. I liked your backup situation a lot better last year. You were smart. You took Kittle and Freiermuth, which really, it was like Kittle never left. I mean, he got injured. He was out multiple weeks, and you just inserted Freiermuth in there, and he had a good season. This is going to be a lot different. You will no longer be elite at that tight end position if George Kittle goes down. So I am to believe that there's no way George Kittle plays 17, and I don't like to predict injuries, but that's one you can almost guarantee he's not doing. You know, not crapping on your team at all. I do like the build. The starting roster is going to be good. I think this is a team that starts pretty hot, 3-1, I'm going to say. And then we'll see what happens during bye weeks is the concern. I'm concerned, you know, you're going to have to start guys like Deontay Foreman, who's supposed to be the second, you know, he's behind Khalil Herbert. So I see what you did there as far as handcuffs go. But if Khalil Herbert goes down, I actually think it's going to be Roschon Johnson that gets a look before Foreman, depending on their playoff situation. I like what you did. I mean, I see you also have the handcuff to James Conner and Keontae Ingram. So you're definitely playing it safe there. To me, I have you down as a B. I think you're going to be 3-1 to start the season. And then I want to see what you can do during those bye weeks, or if you have an injury, what is Joe Chick going to do off the waiver wire to keep his team afloat? So I have Joe Chick as a B, and I have you on the bubble, just like Taylor. So I think you'll be one of the last teams in the playoffs, like a 6th seed, or possibly first team out. And you can credit that to having Patrick Mahomes and Ja'Marr Chase. You're never going to be last place with this team. I can't see it happening. But if George Kittle does go down, and maybe they give Roschon Johnson a look instead of Herbert and Foreman later on in the year, that's where your depth is really going to suffer. And of course, Michael Thomas, can he play a full season? So overall, nice draft, a B, and a bubble team for Joe Chick. All right, our next manager is going to be Greg's team. He is the rookie of the year. Quarterback Anthony Richardson, running backs Bijan Robinson, Jamal Williams, wide receivers CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, tight end TJ Hockenson. Flexes are going to be Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, and first off the bench, Brandon Ayuk. This build is called Hero RB, meaning he has a top-tier running back with Bijan Robinson, and then he drafted, three straight wide receivers, it looks like, and then TJ Hockenson. He might have even taken TJ Hockenson before Cooper, and then kept going at wide receiver with Godwin, Brandon Ayuk, and then just took a bunch of shots on running back for later on in the draft. So this is somewhat of what I did last year to win the league. And it is, although I didn't have the hero part of the Hero RB build, I went completely no running back for the first five rounds. So this is a much safer way to do it. And I do like the way he did it because he grabbed a premier tight end. If you remember last year, I grabbed the premier quarterback in Jalen Hurts. So let's take a look. I don't like that Richardson is his week one starter. For me, a guy like Richardson, he's safe. He's never going to get you below 10 points or maybe 12 because of the rushing, but he could go out and throw three picks week one against the Jaguars. I wouldn't be surprised at all. We don't know if he can throw the football. I don't mind the pick at all. I'd prefer to see him start someone else week one, but Greg's not a safe fantasy player. He definitely goes for the win. So we'll see what he does. But right now he's got Richardson as his only quarterback and playing week one. Bijan is a stud. I believe in Bijan. I think where Greg took him makes sense. You got the proven studs that were all taken before him, and then next man up, you know, right where he took him, Bijan. Jamal Williams as his week one starter, I'm not a fan of. I know Kamara's suspended. They are going to give the rookie, a lot of work now that he's back and healthy, but I see what he's doing here. He's going to be piecing it together. He should have Jamal Williams as a usable guy for a couple weeks, about 3 weeks, and that gives him time to look on the waiver wire or make a trade, do what he's got to do. I did the same dance last year, and I was able to piece it together, so I fully expect that Greg can do the same. His wide receivers are unbelievable. CeeDee Lamb, Devonta Smith, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, and then again, Brandon Ayuk just sitting there on the bench in case of an emergency. He's elite at wide receiver, which the last few years, if you're elite at wide receiver, you're going to be a good fantasy team. Hockenson as his tight end, a top tier guy who could maybe push Mark Andrews for the second spot. I got Andrews, Hockenson, and Waller all kind of jumbled up, in my opinion, because I think Waller could lead his team in targets. And when tight ends lead their team in targets, good things happen. So I have I like Waller's draft cost better than Hockenson, but Hockenson's a beast. He looks great in that Vikings offense. And with Thielen gone, who knows? Maybe those targets go to Hockenson. So with this team and my knowledge of what Greg can do as a manager and how active he is, I actually do have him in the playoffs, and I have him at a B- for a grade. Why a B-? Only because of his quarterback situation, and obviously I can only judge him as of right now. As of right now, he's in trouble at running back too. But again, this is a projection of what I know Greg can do. I project he's going to figure out his running back two position, and the rest of his roster is good. And he wouldn't be afraid to move on from Richardson if he needs to. There's quarterbacks on the waiver wire, so not going to dock him a ton for that. So a B- for Greg, and I have him in the playoffs. And last but not least for this episode is going to be Alicia's team, Unleash the Beast. Second place in last year's playoff. Her team is quarterback Lamar Jackson, running backs Jonathan Taylor, Damian Pierce, Wide receivers, Christian Watson and Deontay Johnson. Tight end, Travis Kelce, of course. Flexes, J.K. Dobbins and Rashad Penny. And first off the bench, Jackson Smith and Jigba. So I think this draft didn't go well. Maybe she wasn't as prepared, you know, right up until draft day. I think she still thought we were doing it online. So I tried to be transparent and give her plenty of notice that this was an in-person draft and she's got to have the ranking sheet in front of her. So she was kind of playing catch up most of the morning. So with that said, I just think it's a draft that it could go real bad. There's a chance she does okay, but there's a real chance that she'll be in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, to be honest. Because of situations like Jonathan Taylor as her second pick, we just don't know what's going on with him. I'm not saying it's a bad pick. Jonathan Taylor was always going to be drafted eventually. I just like the idea of taking him as like my second running back, so you don't have to depend on him. He's your running back one. Not even close. You need him to be there week one. He's holding out. Today's Tuesday. Today's supposed to be the deadline of whether he gets traded or not. And if not, we need to find out if he actually still is injured. We don't know how serious that injury is or if he used it as a way to get out of training camp. But there's a lot of questions and we will get those answers before week one. So it could be an amazing pick there for Alicia. Damian Pierce, no problem as your running back two. This is where it gets dicey. Christian Watson as your wide receiver one. I love Christian Watson and his upside. But again, I would much rather have him as my wide receiver two or three and not depend on him like you are here. Deontay Johnson, no problem as your wide receiver two, because he's going to be more stable as a PPR guy. But he doesn't get touchdowns. He didn't have one touchdown last year. That will change, by the way. He'll have a couple this year. But you are banking on Kenny Pickett and Jordan Love to really step up. And again, those are your two starting wide receivers, and you don't have much after that. You have Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's currently injured, and then you do have Alan Lazard, who you could plug and play at any moment. We'll see how he does with the Jets. Of course, I'm rooting for him there, but Kelce, you always get the positional advantage there, no problem. But J.K. Dobbins, first flex, that's fine. Rashad Penny as your starting flex right now. There were thoughts that maybe he wasn't going to make the team. You got Swift running ahead of him, as well as, I'm blanking on his name, Gainwell. So we'll see how involved, but right now he was running with the threes. So overall, I think it was let's just say more of a rough draft than it was last year for your team. You were one of the teams I was wrong about last year in my draft grades, though. So this year I'm giving you a C, and I have to go out of the playoffs. Well, that's it for today's episode. Just a quick recap. We had Taylor with a B grade on the bubble. We have Roach with a B plus in the playoffs. We have Chick with a B on the bubble. We have Greg with a B minus, but in the playoffs. And we have Jason, C minus, out of the playoffs. Alicia, C, out of the playoffs. You do the math. That means tomorrow's episode, we will have four more playoff teams left. Who's it going to be? Think about it. Lose sleep over it tonight, but thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow on Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast.